Who is your daddy and what does he do?
Sleep regression. Both of you know what this is, right? It's fairly self-explanatory, right?
Look at our eyes, Stephen. Look at our eyes. Like piss holes in the snow.
We've been using the snot sucker like you don't believe. Some of the stuff that has been coming out of her nose is remarkable.
I'll give you a 10 at the drinker.
What, they stole your breast milk? You never mentioned that.
They didn't.
Imagine if they did.
The police was like, is there anything missing? I was like, well, I swear there was more fucking breast milk in the freezer.
Because I didn't know, which I realised on Erin, because we run out of this baby one, I didn't know you had to use different ones for kids and adults. And I just rubbed Vic on her chest and she fucking screamed. Felt so bad. Like, can't use it on kids. I was like, I don't fucking know.
And she told me a story which is way more sinister. When a kid was like 4 or something, you should just go downstairs and say, oh, the man's walking on the ceiling.
Fuck off. Burn the house down.
Today I want to talk, like I want to talk about last time, with this sleep regression. You can probably hear I sound way worse than I am. I was dying a few days ago.
Okay.
Cheers, man. Cheers. But I had I've done loads of tests, rapid flow tests. They've all come back negative so far. I've done a PCR test today, so we'll see what happens. But as far as I know, I don't have COVID. It's just a normal cold. But how you guys been doing, and how was your Christmas? Because we haven't talked for a few weeks. So how did that all go for you both? Matt, you look terrified.
Man, it was over too quick. Yeah, my dim room looked like Toys R Us. If for anyone, all the listeners who don't know what Toys R Us is, big in the 90s, it was a giraffe. It was millions of Jeffrey, all under one roof. And all of Jeffrey was in my living room.
Yeah, well, that's like a dream come true for you, right?
Yeah, man. It was, excuse me a moment, I'm going to go boot the dog up his ass because he's in the bin.
That's, I've told you so many times, that's an awful nickname for Nick. All right, I'll go to you, Paul. How was your Christmas? Because you had Christmas just at home, right, with the family. So you, Kat, and the kids, right? That was the plan?
Yeah. So, well, we popped over to my mum's for like an hour or so in the afternoon. And then Kat's mum and sisters and their boyfriends came over hours in the evening for a few drinks and stuff. So it was good. It was, yeah, nice. Good day. Good food. Too much food. There's still
wicked though.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
There's still more food than man.
There's still like, you know, actually still like a pile of toys that I still haven't found a place for yet. It's just in the corner of the room. But yeah.
Lottie's going again. Let me message Leah. What a nightmare. She's doing so well. Literally, well, funny enough, we're talking about sleep regression and literally Lottie is now awake. Before I go into that, though, so my Christmas, something you guys didn't really make clear is your first Christmas with a newborn is basically your Christmas is ruined. Like, let's not paint a pretty picture. You can't drink, you can't relax, you can't watch TV shows or movies, you can't do anything. And to make matters worse, by the time we sat down on Christmas dinner, on Christmas Day for Christmas dinner, it was exact time Lottie needed feeding. So basically, like, Leah fed Lottie for like the first 15, 20 minutes everyone's eating Christmas dinner. I didn't even pull a cracker before I had Christmas dinner. That might be the first time that's ever happened in my life. So, so yeah, it was a different Christmas. It was full of you know, amazing memories because it's the first Christmas with Lottie. And also watching Leah the day before Christmas Eve spend like 45 minutes wrapping Lottie's presents to 2 days later just unwrap them herself was weird. weird thing to see. I just sitting there like, well, that was just a waste of time.
What always gets me with presents is they wrap a present and then you've got to get a bag for the present. And then they put it in a bag.
Oh, so they didn't do that.
It's like
who's wrapping presents and put them in a bag?
It's one or the other.
People.
Crazy people.
But it's like, it just, like tinfoil. Use tinfoil. You don't need tape. Better for the environment.
Yeah,
because we went out, right? I say we. Nick went out and bought all this special wrapping paper that is recyclable or friendly to the earth and amazing because we're at an age now where we're wrapping and buying presents for every fucker and his dog ever, right? So it's like a week prep of wrapping presents. So anyway, we buy all this like recyclable paper, which is more expensive, by the way. And then Cardiff Council turn around and go, yeah, you can't recycle paper. You've all got to go in a black bin, landfill. And it's like,
it's because they don't know.
I stuck mine in green bags. Mine was recyclable. You're going to recycle it, you bastards.
It's a fucking. Yeah.
It's not. I'm pretty certain we had this exact same conversation a year ago.
But I'm going to bring it up. I'm going to write to my local councillor.
Well, you know, you're gonna moan to us and your friends and people in work, and then
write it over you, Matt.
The same conversation in 12 months.
Write to your councillor, Matt.
You should, you should
find it. Write to them. Write to your member of Senate as well, and tell them to sort it out.
I'm gonna post dog shit through his letterbox. Fuck him. Have a bit of that. I'm gonna pick it up with a bag. Am I going to get, if this goes out, will I get into trouble for premeditated
Matt,
dog shit?
This is
if any shit iceberg goes through the councillor's letterbox, you're the first door that's going to have a knock.
All right, my name is Sean Hancock. number 23, Camrose Place.
I'll be saying his fucking address on this podcast.
Didn't say where, did I?
Well,
didn't say where.
True, I guess so. I don't know how many Camrose Places there are. You make a good point, mate. Honest to God, where the hell? I've had one Christmas with Lottie. I don't have any space for her stuff. So how the hell, after like we're having two children for both of you, like where does it all go? It's just ridiculous.
Oh, look, I'm gonna show you this.
You have to describe with words what you're doing.
Okay, I'm walking through the kitchen.
We're in fucking come dine with me.
No, because like
Paul, he's going around the house to show.
Right, so a lot of the stuff here, we've got this like little.
I bet there's no signal in there, but you didn't check that, did you? He's gone 10 foot away from the Wi-Fi. Utility room. Hold on.
It's this one.
Oh, you got lagged.
This is the cupboard I need to sort out. I need some shelves, Matt.
Do you?
I need you to sort me out.
Go fucking B&Q. Like,
wow. So basically, I'm going to explain what I'm seeing.
Okay.
It's just effectively shit
in every cupboard.
It's effectively like
just get a lot of cupboards.
It's like it's like imagine.
It's like Monica's flat.
It's like a cupboard full of just full of toys, just stacked one on top of each other, like a weird game of Kaplunk, but with baby toys.
Yeah, the horrible thing is though, the lawnmowers at the back of all that.
Oh, fuming!
So when I have to cut the grass, it's a fucking nightmare.
Just don't cut the grass.
No, I hate
well, it. I haven't.
They say men, when it comes to grass, you know, the men take full responsibility and they love it. They got a perfect lawn care. I want to live in a house full of concrete. Fuck your grass. It's bollocks. It's stupid. That's it.
Made a good point on grass.
Yes.
But any funny stories? So I've got a couple kid-related stories. So I got one which is funny, and actually one's question to you guys. So one's connected to sleep progression. So after, like the last few months have been tough, really tough with Lottie. Like she hasn't been sleeping well. She goes through periods of sleeping fine and periods of being bad. And up until a few days ago, she was really bad for like a week, just kept us up. And then she's been fine. And then last night she was bad again. And we couldn't figure out why. And then we come to the conclusion this morning because of something that happened, that it must be because she had a bad stomach or something, because she literally shit out a rock of shit. And then after that, she just like explosive diarrhea. So I think she was genuinely bunged up. It was like a rock
like a
of
cork.
Like a cork, exactly. Kind of block
shit
blocking cork. Her up. A shit cork blocking her up, which is absolutely lush. Luckily, I was working, so Leah had to deal with that. But the other thing I wanted to ask you, so something's happening now and then, which freaks Leah out more than it freaks me out. I just find it funny that Leah freaks out. So what Lottie would do just now and then is she'll be doing whatever, right? So she'll be on the floor, or she'll be like looking at TV, or she'll be usually quite happy and content. And then she'll look in one corner of our room and then start like screaming, but like not like a not like a feed me scream, like a genuinely terrified scream. And she'll just look in the corner of the room and start making this high-pitched like squeal, which she never makes. And then, like she's scared, genuinely like she's scared. And this has happened 3 or 4 times. And every time, what I find funny is Leah gets scared as well, because she is like, I don't think she really believes this, but I think part of her thinks, what if there's like something she can see that we can't see that is actually there, you know? So I've mentioned this to someone I work with, and she told me a story which is way more sinister, but I'd like to know if you guys ever have to deal with this type of stuff. So when I was saying this, she said, oh yeah, her kid, when a kid was like 4 or something or 5, you should just go downstairs and say, oh, the man's walking on the ceiling.
Fuck off. Burn the house down.
And you just say, oh, the man's upstairs walking on the ceiling. Literally, the kid would come downstairs at like 10 o'clock at night while they're watching TV. And she'd be like, mummy, I can't sleep because the man's walking on the ceiling. Which is obviously complete and utter bullshit, because it's a kid and just the imagination. But that is
if she went in and he's like some guy in a fucking overalls. What is stood on a ceiling having a fag? Like,
it's spooky, right? But have you guys ever had a scenario where your kid like said something which freaked you out a little bit? I don't know if we actually ever went. I can't remember if we've ever talked about something like this. But can you guys, like, has that ever happened to you both?
No, I'm from a normal family, me. You know.
No, it's happened to me, but I can't really remember the details. But I know something similar happened to what you're describing with Lottie, with Dylan. And Kat used to get freaked out about it like a lot. She used to think there was the guy that lived in this house before us was obviously still here haunting it. Because why wouldn't he be?
Did someone die in your house?
No, he the guy died in hospital.
Right, okay.
But like we bought his kids were selling it, basically.
Got you, right.
So yeah, she was convinced it was him. Obviously, must be.
Oh, mate! If this is a new build, but if it wasn't, and there was any type of thing connected to this house like that, that's 100% what Leah would have got to.
Oh man, I'm gonna start sending her letters saying it was built on an ancient Indian burial ground.
She'd probably believe it.
Oh. Like, write letters in blood and shit. She said, dude, she sent me sprout ketchup.
She did, yeah. For
and
Christmas.
I will never forgive her for that. So she's fair game. So I was good. No, that's it. It's the most vile, second worst thing I've put in my mouth. Oh,
what's the first thing?
I don't want to know. This is PG-13.
Oh, God.
And it wasn't a dick. It wasn't.
Oh God!
Leonard's cooking was the worst thing I ever put in my mouth. He made French onion soup for me once, right? Yeah. Nickel backed me up, and he'd spent hours when I used to live in Penarth in the flat, and he, you know, say thank you because we look pretty much looked after him. He lived with me for like 2 weeks, and then he made me French onion soup, and I'm not lying, I would have rather eaten a bag of gravel. It was rank. It was.
Did
I still taste it?
Did you tell him that at the time?
Yeah, it was said, mate, I can't eat this. Like, it's fucking minging. He was proper gutted, and I look back at it now, and I feel a little bit bad.
I bet he was gutted, yeah. I bet he was gutted. Spending hours on it.
Yeah. His ex-girlfriend taught, because she was a chef, taught him how to make it. And, like, he was, like, bought all these, like, used this whole system, sweating onions. He made this broth and made a, what's it called, a roux. As they say, and he spent hours making it, and he went, oh, there you are. And I was like, oh, this looks amazing. And I taste, oh, man. Honestly, it was fucking horrible. Bigfoot's dick.
Was it horrible because you don't like French onion soup, or because Dan's was just bad?
I love food. I'll eat anything. I'll try anything. And I've tried a lot. I've tried snails.
Have you had a different French onion soup that you liked?
I won't eat it again.
Yeah.
So it was the first time trying it.
Yes.
So it might have just been that. It might have been a lovely French onion soup.
No.
I
just don't like eating it ever again. It was fucking horrible. So Len, if you're listening, I'm sorry, but you can't make soup, mate.
He does listen, and this won't be the first time you've upset him on this podcast, and it probably won't be the last.
Good. People got to know what we have to suffer. Friends for 25 years this year.
It's a long time.
It's a long time for long French onion soup. You think he's made it up to me? Do you think he's turned around and gone, do you know what? I'll make you it again. And it'll be nicer this time. Does he fuck?
Broke his heart. That's why he won't cook for you again.
Broke my heart. I have to fucking eat it.
Right. So sleep regression. Both of you know what this is, right? It's fairly self-explanatory, right?
Look at our eyes, Stephen. Look at our eyes.
Well, you can't really see it because my glasses, but man,
see because of your glasses. No, what's the point of your glasses, you silly fucker?
You can't see my eyes because of my glasses, but there's like literal slits at the moment.
You look like a crab. Oh no, you got crab eyes.
I got crab eyes. Because I didn't sleep much last night. But so for those that listening who don't know what it is, it's basically a period in which if your child's been sleeping well, they take a step back and start sleeping poorly. And sleep regression can include a bunch of stuff. So like shorter naps in the day, being really fussy at bedtime or when they're taking naps, fighting to go to sleep, and frequent waking. Frequent waking in the night, and it can pretty much happen at any time. It's actually less likely to happen, even though Lottie's experienced it for the last couple of months, it's actually less likely to happen at her age. Once a baby gets into a good sleep, obviously if they do, and like, you know, Dylan and Paula didn't get one, but usually a baby after 6 weeks gets into a reasonable good sleeping cycle, and it usually happens in about 8 to 12 months. And maybe sometimes later. It usually doesn't last too long, apparently. It feels like it can last forever. Like, we had a period with Lottie, which I think was about 4 weeks, where she basically didn't sleep well at all. And it was really tough on me and Leon. I'll go into that in more detail. But it does feel like forever. But as I experienced with Lottie, it doesn't last forever. But if either of you experienced that with your children, I'll go to you first, Paul, because I can't imagine, maybe you didn't, because you, like, Dylan basically didn't sleep until he was one. So it's hard to get sleep regression when you're not sleeping. And didn't you say Ivy actually was pretty good with the sleep kind of quite early on?
Yeah, Ivy was, well, anything seemed good by comparison to Dylan, to be honest. But she was. Like genuinely good. There wasn't any kind of like prolonged sleep regression like before she was one. Like, obviously, like if she had a cold or something, then she didn't sleep very well. But it wasn't something that lasted more than a couple of days, really. But it has, like, kind of, as she's been older, she's gone through phases where it's difficult to get her to, like, just to go to sleep or just like stay in bed. But yeah, you'll have that to come, I suppose, when they can actually get out of bed themselves.
Yeah.
Wandering bastards.
I was talking about this to Leah the other day, how parenting styles have changed, because I can't remember who it was now. Someone she knows had said, like, I think she was talking to someone in work, that's it, about Lottie not sleeping. And she said something like, I can't wait till Lottie's older and she doesn't interrupt our sleep. And then someone she knows is like, look, I got an 8-year-old and he still comes down, he comes into our room and jumps and wakes us up, you know, in the night now. So you never really get away with it. But I was thinking, when I was a kid, and you guys probably had this as well, like, my parents would just tell me to fuck off. If I went downstairs saying I was scared or I couldn't sleep, they would just say, get a bed. What are you doing up? This is past your bedtime. They just shout at me, right? Until I had to go back upstairs. Like, but now parents seem to be very much like, come here, I'll give you a cutshaw. It's okay. It's fine.
Oh, I don't know. Depends. When it's like the seventh time, it's back to the 90s again.
Oh, fair enough.
I learned how to sneak downstairs and work the TV. So I would literally wake up when I did and then come down and, like, shut all the doors and, like, Do you remember the big, massive headphones?
Mm.
Like, the massive headphones, and you still have that big gold jack lead.
Yeah.
Like, sit in front of the telly like that with the headphones on, like, so not to wake your parents watching Sharky and George or something. Top cartoon.
It was a top cartoon.
Yeah, it was literally, it was either that or are you taking the fucking piss?
Yeah.
Which was, it's great fun. Sorry, I'm trying to charge my laptop. So
Matt, what is it like, Erin and Phoebe, how have they been with sleeping? Have they ever experienced, like, periods of regression?
Not really. Only just the normal things of teething and stuff. Like, you get into a routine and then it's either they either start teething and it breaks it up a little bit, or you finally, I think we found with Phoebe, we finally got into routine and it was great, and then she got ill and then it, like, fucked it up for a couple of weeks, and then you got back into it. But not really, like, psychological damage or anything like that. But I can completely understand why certain countries use it as a form of torture, because not having sleep and shit like that.
Yeah, but you don't sleep that much. Both of you don't sleep that much anyway, do you?
No, I never have done since I was a kid. I've never really slept. I was Dylan. My mum didn't sleep until I was 10 months, 11 months.
Mm-hmm.
And still don't know. So I think that's why I'm so short.
Well, I'm short as well. Maybe there's something in there.
You watch Dylan be like 6'4". You prick.
That ain't gonna happen.
I never thought about it that way. It is a bit of a bastard, right? So you kind of both already touched on it. Like, is it loads of things that can cause it? Brain development is a big one, which you probably underestimate because it's less noticeable, right? So you can kind of notice some of the others, but particularly at 6 and especially 8 to 12 months, one of the biggest contributors to it is just the fact that your child's brain is changing a lot, which means they might wake up just because they're developing. But a few things which are kind of more obvious to spot are illnesses and teething, the big ones. And that's what kind of set Lottie off. I think we've kind of gone a bit of a cycle. It's like illness, teething, and then she recovers from the illness, and then she has some type of illness. And like I mentioned before, me and Leah had it so easy for the first 4 months. Like, Lottie slept pretty much every night, no problem. We joked about on this podcast. And then it went to shit. Like, about, she's 6 months now. Yeah, so we had about 4 months where it was great. And then for like 6 weeks, it was just awful. I think it was, first of all, she had a cold. And because she had a cold, she couldn't breathe and was coughing. And that was keeping her up and waking her up. And that happened for like a week. And then you combine that with teething. So she, like, it's just, she couldn't breathe and her teeth. So it was like every, like, honest to God, we went through a period for what was really tough. It was a little bit, unlike Dylan, not really like Dylan and Paul, where Lottie would fall asleep, but then she would wake up every half an hour, like screaming or couldn't breathe or crying. So you'd put her to sleep, and then literally every 30 minutes, and this went on for like 6 weeks, she'd be in bed, she'd be knackered, and then 30 minutes later she'd wake up. So then she'd wake me and Leah up, then we'd try and get to sleep, and that'd take 10-15 minutes, then she'd go back to sleep, and then 15 minutes later she'd wake up again. And we just went through this cycle like for weeks and weeks and weeks, and that led to, and I think that led to some other problems. So she was napping longer in the day as well. So she wasn't sleeping in the night, and then she was napping longer in the day because she didn't really nap before. And then because of that, she started going to bed later. And then because she started going to bed later, she is just like knocked off the whole kind of cycle. And it was really tough. And I got a bit of an insight, Paul, into how you and Kat must have been. Because after like 5 weeks of this, me and Leah were struggling. Like, the kind of tired mental health, and just being like, it was really tough for Leah as well, because obviously she's with Lottie all day. So, you know, if I haven't slept all night, I got to work, but I'm tired, but at least I'm kind of away from it. Whereas obviously Leah, if she doesn't get a break in the night, she's basically seeing to Lottie all night, then she gets the ghost, and all day she's with Lottie. So she gets like frustrated, and your patience kind of wears out. But it was one moment where one middle of the night, Leah just kind of like, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, something like that. We'd had a cycle of kind of 30 minutes, 45 minutes sleeps all night. And Leah just started crying her eyeballs out just in the middle of the night because she just couldn't take it anymore. It was really tough. And I was just thinking, you had that for like a whole year, Paul, like almost a year where you basically had no sleep. That must have been so rough.
Yeah, it was pretty rough. And we had moments like Leah had.
You should take it out on people in five a side. Like, yeah. Snap them in half. Stand over them. Fucking what? I'm only 17. I remember it.
Well, yeah, exactly. It was difficult. It's horrible not having proper sleep. Mm. Or, you know, both, especially when both of you don't have much sleep. And yeah, like, you know, when you're tired.
Do you ever pretend? Do any of you pretend to be asleep?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
I've never done it.
So, never.
I've pretended to be asleep when Kat's pretended to be asleep. And
you
like,
got,
she's.
You've got to.
She's like, kiss me.
You've got to pretend sleep.
You know, well, like, you know, she actually genuinely thinks I'm asleep. And she's kicking me to wake me up, but pretending she didn't kick me. And I'm like, I'm fully awake. I know what you're doing.
You're trying to both play it off against each other like a battle of wits. Like this.
Yeah, basically.
Like a game of chess.
Like, I wonder how long it takes before Kat starts hitting me with things in the room to wake me up. How much pain can I take?
It's a back, man. I'll stand up for you.
I tell you,
just lean over and just go. Just give her a Hester chin. Well,
there's a few. We've talked about this a lot, but there's a couple of things. Like back to the mental health bit. There's a few things we've not touched on, which I experienced, which was quite interesting. I was unexpected, I guess, because two things happen when we weren't sleeping. So the first thing is like there's more tension between you and your partner, right? Because your patience is just saturated because you're tired. Your baby is ruining your patience. So you become less soft and empathetic between, like, you know, with your kid and with your partner, you and your partner. But also there's another thing which I really didn't expect, is you feel like you're not a good parent. Like this, there was moments where at like 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, and Leah really struggled with this because, and this is fucking social media. We've talked to us before. Like Leah would get, so I would be like, what the fuck are we doing wrong? Right? Like, why is Lottie so bad? Like we feel like we're doing everything right, but she's not sleeping. She's unhappy. And that's, it's tough to see, right? It's actually tough to see your kid, just because when they're not sleeping in the night, when they're just in pain, they're just crying. Like, that's awful. You don't want to see that. And then because of that, they're grumpy in the day. So you've got a baby who just isn't happy. So like all day, every day for weeks, it's like, you feel like you can't make your baby happy, which was quite tough. But like I said, that kind of leads to you thinking, well, am I fucking doing something wrong? Even though you're trying your hardest and you're doing whatever you can. And Leah literally would say to me, like, oh, how come people on Instagram make it look so easy? Right. And I was like, well, first,
it's fucking Instagram. It's not fucking real life for a start.
Well, that's, I said, obviously, she'd know. I should say, like, you're only seeing a snapshot of these people's lives, right? You don't, this is just the best. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know how hard their life is. Don't use Instagram as kind of a benchmark of what your life should be like with your kid. But I do, but I also, I did feel a little bit inadequate as a dad, because I was like, what can I do? And the reason I wanted to mention that, because for anyone listening, this happens. So sleep regression happens, and you can only do your best, and it happens to all parents. And most of the time, like I mentioned earlier on, it feels like it's going to last forever. Most of the time it doesn't. Most of the time it solves itself out. So, you know, as long as you're doing the basic bare minimum, I'll go into some of the things, like tips you can do and things that we did and what they suggest online to help. But as long as you're doing your hardest, try not to be so tough on yourself. Because I found there was moments where Leah and I were like, we're the problem. You know, we felt like we were the people, we were making this worse, when all we're trying to do was to make it better. So parents and listeners out there, just don't be too hard on yourself, because we only had it for like a few weeks and it was tough. So you don't want to go down that spiral. But as I said, semi-good news, Lottie's better today, much better today than she was kind of 3-4 weeks ago. Basically, the run-up to Christmas, she was pretty good. So she was tough all the way up until like the week before Christmas. Actually, when we did our last podcast, she was like bad until the day before that, and then she was okay-ish. And then day before Christmas Eve, Christmas night, she was, Boxing night, she was really good. And then she was awful. And then over the last few days, she's been much better. So it's a bit up and down at the moment. But yeah, when I go into some of the tips, because like I said, for us, it was kind of all of the things. I think it was a little bit to do with brain development, a little bit to do with teething, a little bit to do with having a cold, and also a little bit to do with stomach problems. And there's loads of things we've done or tried to make all those things less painful and hard on Lottie, which I think has helped, because things have got a little bit better. Is there anything, kind of before I go into some of the stuff we did to help and what you could potentially do to help, Paul, maybe because Matt said, like, have either you, when you've had any sleep regression or your kids have had any sleep regression, have you actively tried to do anything to reduce it, or do you just kind of weather the storm? Like, what have you done, if anything?
Just weathered the storm, really. I guess it depends what, like, you know, what's causing it. Obviously, if it's teething or illness or whatever, then obviously try and do what you can to, you know, make them comfortable or alleviate those kind of symptoms. But nothing really much different. Just try and keep with their normal routine, I suppose.
Yeah, that's actually a big one. I'll get into that in a moment. But sticking to the routine is a big one, because it's easy to break the routine because you feel like the routine that was working is not working anymore. But that's actually a big one, where you, if if anything, you should double down on the routine while you're weathering the storm. What about you, Matt?
I feel, because I've got two kids on both ends of the spectrum. Like I had, Erin was easy, touch wood, and then Phoebe was difficult at the beginning because of colic and shit. But I find that looking back at it, I question myself more as a dad now, because Erin is this sentient being of like whatever action you have has a reaction. And then I question every single thing I do in regards to parenting or whatever. So like, what if I said that instead of this, and what if I did this instead of that? Oh my God, that's made me a bad parent, or that, or this, or that. And then you see other parents and so on, and in his school and kids and stuff like that. And the only thing I can say is you look back at it and you think, ah, I shouldn't have worried about that. I should have worried about this and this and this. And it just feels like the whole process is just, you just second guess everything you've done as they grow up. So I kind of feel like it's not so much, it's not insignificant, but you kind of like don't sweat the small stuff, because this is like I found that it was the stuff I stressed about when she was a baby, and Phoebe is a baby. I find that I worry more about her growing up than she was when she was a baby. You know what I mean? I did it tonight with me and Nick. Were still like, were we too hard on her? Were we this? Were we this? Were we that? And you just, yeah, you end up just second guessing everything.
I've had this conversation with Leah's mum, Claire. So Claire was quite young when she had Leah. I think she was 17. And then she's got like, she's been softer as, so there's, let's get this out. There's like 6 years difference between, or 8 years difference. No, I think there's 7 years difference between all of them. There's like 7 years difference between Leah and Zach. And then there's like 7 years difference between Zach, or like 6 years difference between all three of them, basically something like that. And Leah's mum has been like way softer on all of them. So she was really strict with Leah, less strict with Zach, and she's way less strict with Beau. But I think it's just because she's learned, you know, and obviously she's got a better support network now. So she can be, she knows what works and what doesn't. But when you're 17 and you've got a kid, you kind of just like, you just learn it.
Fuck yeah.
You just fucking make it up as you go along. So you probably overreact because you don't really know. You're scared, to be honest.
This is the first time they ever do X, Y, and Z. So I can completely agree with you with that. But
So some tips to help with sleep progression. And there's a few things which I've got online, but stuff I've done which has really helped. So it goes without saying, you need to make sure you still do the basics with your kid, right? So make sure they got a clean nappy, make sure they got a full tummy, make sure they're clean, they have clean clothes. And that sounds fairly obvious, but when you are hanging out your backside because you've not slept for a week, it's really fucking hard to motivate yourself to change the wet nappy, right? You know, it's tough. You're like, oh, does she need to, you know, and you second guess yourself because you're just exhausted. But those small things can contribute to making your baby more grumpy, less happy, and less likely to sleep. So need to stick to those. You already mentioned it, Paul. Sticking to your routine is really key. And to be honest, me and Leah fucked up a few times here. Like in the early days, we were like, right, well, if she's not sleeping, it must be a problem with the routine rather than there's a problem with Lottie. So like there was a moment where early on where she wasn't sleeping, we tried everything. So we just give up. We said, you know what? She's got loads of energy. We literally at like 11 o'clock in the night, we put her in her bouncer and we just let her watch the TV. And she was like jumping up and down and like having the best time of her life, but it definitely wasn't going to help her sleep. But we would just like give up. She was like crying and grumpy. And we thought this is the only thing that's going to make her happy. And we did it. And it definitely wasn't a good idea because I probably messed up a few days after that. So always try to feed at the same time. Always encourage naps at the same time. Do your like bed routine at the same time. Like we do bath, feed, bed. So whatever it is. And something else we probably fucked up with, because she was sleeping really late, and not sleeping the night. She started like sleeping from like 6 till like 10 o'clock in the morning. And because me and Leah are knackered, and particularly Leah was shattered, she would just be like, well, I'm just going to, you know, let her sleep till as late as possible. But then there's the knock-on effect, because if she's not waking up in the morning till like 10, 11 o'clock, sometimes midday, she's not going to want to go to sleep till early hours of the morning. So they were a few things that we fucked up on. We did try controlled crying. You've talked about this before, haven't you, Paul? Like we basically, because Lottie would be exhausted. And a big thing with the sleep regression is like she was fighting going to sleep, even though she was so tired, she just wouldn't go to sleep. So a couple of times we did control crying and it worked, but it's tough. It is really tough. Like kind of just leaving your baby scream for like 5 minutes. It was really tough. It did work though. Like we did it twice. I think we did it 3 times. 2 times it worked. The third time we're like, oh, I just can't put it up. But it's just rough as hell just letting your baby just scream while you're in another room. Like that's horrible.
Yeah. We did that with Dylan. And it is very, very difficult to do. But it did work in some way.
Yeah. Make them hard as nails.
No. Oh.
It's supposed to like tie them out, right? Because they just exhaust themselves. I think that's the logic.
But I just thought you'd be like walking into the room going, I don't want any fucking monster munch, right? So, make it a gay.
There was something that really helped, I think. And this goes back to what I said earlier on about like making sure you kind of got to be careful of the relationship between you and your partner when you're being stressed and taxed so much. Like the way what we did to try and make it easy on yourself when it was tough is we took turns in looking after Lottie. So something that did really help us so we could stick to the routine. So we would go to bed, and because Leah lays on the side next to Lottie, she inevitably, you know, sees a Lottie more, right? So if Lottie's stirs, she like rocks her and stuff and things like that. So even though I'm next to her and I'm waking up almost as many times as Leah is, I'm probably not waking up as much as her. So what we were doing when Lottie was waking up at like 5 o'clock in the morning after no sleep, because I'd had, maybe Leah had had 3 hours sleep. I might've had 4 hours sleep, maybe a little bit longer. What I would do is just get up and take Lottie down and then let Leah have like a few hours more. And if it was on a weekend, even better, because then I could take it down and then Leah could get up a few hours later, take over, then I could have a nap. So we tried doing that, which was really helpful, because otherwise you're just never going to catch up on sleep and just make it, you just be exhausted. And another thing we did was using sleep tools. So remember, I've told you guys about Ooh and the Sheep, right? Which I got
like a nap screwdriver.
Like, yeah, just
sleep hammer,
sleep mallet.
No, that would work.
No, you can like things that help them go to sleep, like white noise, stuff like that. But we got
what is white noise?
It's like static.
It's not like oh, I answer a latte.
No, it's not. It's not like.
I'm gonna write that from a sketch.
That's a good one. No, it's just like static, right? I've told you about this, like Ooh and the Sheep, right? The little sheep I got, which makes womb noises.
Womb. No, you haven't got a lisp.
No, womb noises.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure you mentioned that when we were doing the stuff to buy.
Yeah.
Because we had something similar for Ivy. I can't remember what it's bloody called now.
How do you make a what do they do? Record women's uteruses and shit.
Well, it's like it's hard to explain, but it's like wop 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 wop.
Next on Spotify is Jenny from Nottingham. Her, next up is her womb. Like those fucking things from the Muppets.
It's not the it's not the noise a womb makes. It's like that insulated noise, that sound that they likely would have heard while they were in the womb. So
It's not the sound, it's the vibe, yeah?
It's the vibe. It's perfect white noise. That's white noise. No, but honestly, it's this Ooh and the Sheep has earned its money. Is it like it's brilliant.
Top dollar?
Well, it's expensive-ish. I don't know how much it was. It's like 30 quid or something, right? But we go through batteries like you don't believe. I probably spent more on batteries for it, to be honest. But you can...
What batteries are they?
Double A's? Double A's, yeah.
Oh, it's all right. See, if they were C's and D's, you'd be fucking throwing your money.
I bought a pack of, I think it was 20 from Amazon the other day. Just to thought, you know what? I'm going for these like socks, so I need to just buy in bulk. But it's pretty good because it also has a sensor on it. So when Lottie stirs, it starts making these kind of white noise soothing sounds. And it has worked. So that's been really helpful.
Funny if she started moving and the sound would be, come out of sleep!
some other stuff, which has been really helpful. Because basically what led to this problem is illness. So a few things have helped every illness. So colds, basically blocked nose is a problem. So she can breathe through her nose. And we used to use a dummy to get her to sleep. She's not massive on a dummy. Like she's not dependent on it. So what we've done is we've slowly taken that away from her when she sleeps. So now she's fine sleeping without it. So she encourages to breathe through her mouth. We also have... this like nose water vapor thing. So it's supposed to clear your sinuses, but it's completely natural. It's just like a water spray. And that's amazing. That really helps. We've been using the snot sucker like you don't believe. Some of the stuff that has been coming out of her nose is remarkable.
I'll give you a 10 at the drinker.
I have to make it more than
a crisp £10.
Paul, how much would it cost for you to drink that?
But it's your kid. It's your kid. It's your kid now.
A lot of money. A lot. You'd have to, I don't know.
A weekend stay, Centre Parks, August bank holiday weekend money.
Fucking hell. Yeah, maybe. Fucking. Maybe.
What's that? Maybe.
Probably about like £5,000 or something, is it?
Well, I would suck a snot sucker full of either of your snot for £5,000. I wouldn't have any problem with that.
£5,000. Whoa, now it's snot. It's not like a dick.
That's what. Hang on, you say you'd suck a dick for £5,000.
I'd do it for free.
I'd sooner suck guess a dick for £5,000 than some snot. Can I tell you that?
Yes.
You don't have to edit that out.
Funny you should say that, Paul.
Yeah, so if they got a cold, that really helps. Also, we talked about this before, that vape spray is amazing. It's by Calpol do it, right? They do like a... basically it makes your room smell like Albus oil, which is really good. That's super helpful.
So the plug-in one?
Yeah, the plug-in, yeah.
Oh, they're amazing, but so expensive.
Yeah, basically it's like five for four or something. And
they last like a minute.
Yeah, well, they last an evening, basically. And
have you tasted one?
What? Have I tasted
do you ever, one? Like, have you, do you know when you got to like... do you know when you got to like slide it? You got the
I've
plug,
never used
right?
the it,
and it? Then you slide... Nah.
Hang on, are you drinking it? What are you doing?
No, you like you've got like this little tab, right? It looks like I'm gonna explain. It looks like it's like a square bit of cardboard, and you slide it into the plug, and it's like quite moist. And I've gone,
I bet you do that with everything. I bet you, if anything is
baby
suspicious,
food,
you just taste
baby
it.
Food, yeah, baby food.
Shit.
The worst one I ever done, I don't know if I've mentioned this, is when I was off for Christmas, I changed Phoebe's nappy and then whatever, and I was sat on the sofa, she was sleeping, I was chewing my nail, and I was like, that tastes like shit. And I looked down and I had a bit of the old baby shit under the nail. So yeah, that was fucking, so wash your hands, guys.
If
your fucking hands.
If not just for COVID.
Have you not
just...
done it? Have no one ever done it?
No.
You've never gone, no. Oh, it tastes like shit. No. Fuck's sake.
I haven't lived.
If there's any doctors listening or psychiatrists, I'm perfectly fine. I pay my taxes, I go to work. I'm not weird or anything.
Oh, the only thing, something did happen to me the other day, which wasn't too disgusting, but it wasn't great. So let me ask you guys. So Lottie is now bathing in the bath. So we've got like this little seat thing. She's grown out of the tub in the front room. But there's this moment where I have to take the nappy off her and put her into the bath, right? So there's like this 2 second period where if she does anything, she's completely in, you know, open to the world. And the other day she pissed all over me. She just did a full piss, like all over my clothes while I was holding up in the air, which was great. But what's your guys' technique? Because what I do, I put her on my shoulder so I can, like, so she's like facing behind me. And then I unstrap the nappy, pull it off her, and then put her into the bath. So it's like a second. Is there a better technique than that?
I just chuck them in.
But you've got to take the nappy off. So, like, what do you do?
I change Phoebe's bath routine. It's obviously full of bath, whatever. And I take it into our bedroom. I get her unchanged on the bed. And then carry her into the bath and sit her in a chair.
But that's a long period where anything can happen.
It's not. It's always fucking... It's a bit of piss. It's fuck all. But what it's not snot, is it?
But my worry is, what if they do a shit while you... You know...
Mate, Phoebe has shit in the bath once a week, every week for a month, right?
If she shits while you're walking from the room to the corridor to the hot...
Makes for a funny story.
That's true.
You know, she...
What's your technique? What was your technique, Paul, if you remember?
I can't even remember. I was, when you were saying that, I was thinking, well, I don't know, it's been a long time since either of...
I reckon you hold them by their legs, right? You dip them into the water.
Say that'll do.
Done. That's it.
Just swing around, blow dry.
It'll hang them out the window.
I tell you,
it's
what,
December, fuck them.
You'd say hang out the window for a laugh. I went down a weird rabbit hole when I was looking at.
Hang on. Have I got a phone? Fucking child services here now.
For one of the
I was joking, right?
for one of the podcasts, I was looking at like old ways of parenting. I think I had an idea. We never did it. Where I was thinking, oh, wouldn't it be funny to explore kind of bullshit stuff they used to do? And one of the things they used to do in like the 60s. I swear to God, I'm going to fucking send this to you on WhatsApp, is you could buy a cage that you would attach to your window and it was supposed to be healthy, a way for your kids to get... So say you were in a high-rise block or something like that and you didn't... In a city, it was a healthy way for your kid to get some fresh air and some vitamin D. And I swear to fucking God, look at these...
What was it, like the advert? New Gordon's Child Cages.
Literally, that's what it was like 1960s baby cages on windows. It is the most fucking ridiculous thing.
In the 60s?
It's something like that, yeah. Honest to God.
Who thinks of these things? I've got an idea.
Mate, look at this.
Make a cage that you put in your window.
This is so bad. Hang on. Look, like, it's so bad.
But you've upset Paul now.
Hang on.
Or Paul's gone to buy one.
Right, look at this. I'm sending it to the WhatsApp. Have a look at the thing I just sent you. And there's loads of
look at this.
If you literally Google 1960s baby cages on Windows, there's loads.
That's fucking amazing. Look at the state of that kid.
So for the listeners, literally, it's like a metal basket you stick to your window.
And it's exactly what you think it is.
It's exactly what you think it is.
I want to know is... What is that kid wearing, man?
It's the 60s, mate.
That's you can't be fucking... You've got to, like... Oh, I don't know. I was worried about assembling the sling thing that we held Ivy in correctly.
I don't know. How much confidence you got to have in that?
Have I put this together right now?
Yeah, but it's not made in China. It's made in the UK. who was me and Charlie put the kid in it. Right then, George, I'll see you in a minute. Ah!
So crazy. But yeah, if you want to, if you're interested in it, Google the history of the baby cage from Mental Floss. Yeah, it's fucking terrifying. Yeah, so the illness, so that's how we dealt with colds. Teething, we basically got the teething powder, which we've already told before could be bullshit. But I also bought, what was that? One of you Ambisol. Recommended it. Yeah, Ambisol, the gel. Yeah, that was really good.
Have you tried it on yourself?
Well, I haven't. Obviously, you have, because you've tried everything on yourself.
You've got to know what you're doing to your kids. It makes you, like, your face numb.
Yeah, Leah tried it. Yeah. She said it was amazing. Like, it did its job.
But, like, you turn around your girlfriend or wife or whatever and go, hit me in the face. I can't feel nothing. Dribble. It's great fun, man.
You've tried it, have you, Paul, as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously. You both try. I don't try anything. I haven't tried baby milk.
To your kid.
You don't try baby milk?
No.
It's disgusting.
Like that, it's minging. It tastes like that red top shit you get in the supermarket. It's fucking horrible.
Well, it's got a weird, like...
tang.
It's got, like, a strange sweetness to it.
It smells sour, like it'd be very sour.
Tastes it enough. Try breast milk?
No, well, Leah never. Well,
maybe it's the breast milk that's got a sweetness to it.
Mm.
I think, yeah. I think
the worst one is when you taste it and there's a hair in it. Mum?
I'm sure I probably told you about I definitely told you about when our house got burgled when Dylan was like a baby.
We've talked about
they
that.
They stole your breast milk.
But not.
Yeah, that's what.
What? They stole your breast milk? You never mentioned that.
They didn't. They did.
Imagine if they did.
The police was like, is there anything missing? I was like, what? I swear there was more fucking breast milk in the freezer. He's like, oh, I'm sure you hadn't taken that. I was like, oh, I don't know.
Some
I can't
be sure.
I can't be
like
sure. I can't be certain, but I'm sure there was more breast milk in the freezer.
I imagine there was some psychotic...
the breast milk.
You would literally pinpoint women that just had babies so you can go in and steal their breast milk. That sounds creepier the more I talk about it. That's pretty dark.
Hang on. You actually told the copper that you swear there was more breast milk in the fucking hell.
I did, yeah. I was fucking tired. I was like, who knows? I was like, I could be wrong, but...
You see something pop up on Gumtree?
Well, you come out with some gems now and then, mate.
Fucking hell.
That's amazing. I'm pretty sure... Have they stole anything, Mr. Gumtree? Pretty certain there was more frozen breast milk.
Holy stolen milk.
This is some yobbos walking
my
around.
My car keys and some breast milk. They're bastards.
Some yobbos walking around Remney with fucking breast milk in their pockets.
Swinging. Yes, Dad, how you doing, mate? I'm all right, mate.
Well, boys, you got to hit this shit, boys.
Number 41 in here, mate. That's number 27.
Oh, that's funny. That's amazing.
Put it in your tea. Fuck, it won't go back, mate.
Last.
I just got this image now of some guy in a tracksuit fucking stood around the shops drinking breast milk. Like, it's like having a sip.
Imagine the police officer. Searching for him, right? Driving around Remney, and he's like, "I fucking think that's him." And he's there's some people in tracksuits, all bagging booze, just fucking necking back breast milk.
The Milky Bar Kid.
This sketch is writing itself. The Milky Bar Kid.
No, I've just, and then it's like you got another bit where you could have like you walking down a street and you just see some lad going, "Oh, mate, what?" Drunk her tit juice. I've drunk her milk. What's it like? Sorry. Yeah. I've drunk her milk. Wow. Stay away from her. It's sour.
That's funny. That's tickled me. Right. Last thing we did, which I think was probably the biggest one.
The best one.
Was Infocal. Infocal?
Infocal.
Infocal, yeah. You guys are aware of what this is, right? It helps with, I think it helps with colic, right? I think.
Yes.
Yeah, but it basically helps with wind and stuff like that. And I think that was the biggest game changer. So we were using that fairly religiously when Lottie was young. But then she stopped, what we believe, she stopped having, like, she had a bit of colic before, but not too long. She had a bit of stomach issues, but she kind of got past that. So we just kind of thought that that was done. So when she was having all these problems, we probably left reintroducing Infocal really like way later than we should have. Because when we started using that again, like she, it had the most immediate impact. So in helping Lottie sleep again. So like that was the big one. So for me, I would do all of them, right? Dependent, like the teething thing, babies are always teething. If they've got anything with a cold, whatever you can do to open their sinuses. By the way, you've got to be careful. You should only use baby sinus spray like very rarely. Like me and Leah only use it once a day, and we only use it in the night when she's ill. Because if you overuse it, it can actually lead to the baby producing more mucus, making it worse. It's like overcompensating. So be careful. But like I said, try and clear their nose. Snot sucker's amazing. And teething. And Infocal for the wind. So we do our best to try and solve the teething, try and solve block nose and Infocal.
Did you use the baby Vicks stuff?
We've got Vicks, yeah, baby Vicks.
Because I didn't know, which I realized on Erin, and I felt terrible. Because we run out of this baby one, I didn't know you had to use different ones for kids and adults. And I just rubbed Vick on her chest, and she fucking screamed. Felt so bad. Like, can't use it on kids. I was like, I don't fucking know. But yeah, don't do that.
Well, mate, we've talked about using, you're not even supposed to use adult Vicks. Because when I talked to you guys over the last few months about Lottie sleeping, and I think Matt, you suggested vapor rub in water. You're told not to use adult vapor rub just in hot water in the room with your baby, because apparently the vapor from that can be too strong.
It's too strong.
Yeah, so you should always...
You wake the baby up the next day and they're all like...
crawling on the ceiling. But you gotta... Yeah, you always use baby medicine. But anyway, so all those things we've been doing, and things are better. They're not perfect. Lottie's... It's weird. When it's great, it's great. So Lottie's now in bed at like 7. She stirs a few times. Like two nights ago, she slept from like 7 solid to like 5 o'clock in the morning. She woke up, needed a feed, and then she went to bed again for like 3 hours. It was like perfect.
Did it freak you out though? Did you keep waking up to look over to see she's still asleep?
Yeah, Leah had to keep going upstairs because she thought Lottie was dead because she's so still on the monitor. She's like, there's something wrong. And also she started like doing this like really, you know, when sometimes you ever been in bed with your partner and they're in like a really deep sleep and they have like this like kind of rapid breathing. You ever experienced that?
It's like a dog.
I guess so. But the other day we could hear Lottie like having like this her breathing was quite loud. I was like, what the fuck is that noise? I went upstairs. She was just such in a deep sleep. She was like breathing really loud, but she was fine. But it was a worry. It was like a weird noise on the monitor. But you do kind of panic. You think, are they alive? Because they're so still on the baby monitor. And then you go up and you have to check and she was fine. But yeah, so that's what we've done. It's a little bit better. Still not perfect, but it seems to have worked. And if it was going to happen again, the biggest thing is do whatever you can to try and make their sleep easier around their wellness. So things I've already mentioned, and stick to your routine, because we went outside the routine and that was probably a fucking mistake. And we probably made the period of time where she had to get back into a routine, we probably made it longer than it should have been. And another thing I found that helps with the stress, if you go through the routine and your baby can't sleep or she's awake, we've tried two things. You can't force a baby to go to sleep if they're not tired, right? It just stresses you out, like, you know, rocking them, moving around. There's been a few times where Lottie has been just 10 o'clock, right? Completely wide awake, won't go to sleep. So what we do is just bring her down and we like holder up on a chair. Like, we try and keep it cold. We can't try and keep it like quiet. But it's better than getting stressed because you can't get your baby to sleep. And usually about half an hour, 45 minutes later, she's tired again. And then we put her to bed. Because you can't, like us, right? You can't force yourself to go to sleep when you're not tired. So if, rather than stressing yourself, trying to force the baby to go to sleep when she's not tired or they're not tired, just kind of wait until they're tired, avoid stress.
Do you know what a great thing was, though? A great thing for your mental health as a parent is playing football. And you could moan about it. You sat there, you're tired, you know, you've hardly slept the night before and you've got football at fucking like 9 o'clock. So you're wrecked and you think, oh, fuck's sake. But then you go and play football. And I felt when we went and played five-a-side, get off the pitch and it'd just be like your stress and stuff. It'd just be gone for like, oh, that's great. You know, and that's what I found. And you'd be fucking battered, absolutely knackered. But you run around for an hour and you'd be like, oh, you know what? This is great for me.
We talked about before, I always found it amazing how both of you, when you had newborns, were playing football. It was crazy. Like, I was thinking, you guys must be just hanging out with your ass.
Fucked. Yeah, fucked.
But it was a bit of a... It was good for your mental health, right? Bit of a break.
Oh, mate, it was amazing.
But also,
yeah, definitely.
Being around your mates and kind of that environment is helpful. But
watching
also,
Sean hurt himself every Monday. it was amazing.
Physical exertion releases endorphins, which I think are massively helpful because I exercise 4 times a week minimum, if not more than that. And I have done for years. And I would consider my mental health to be better than most people I've come across in my life, right? Like my mental health, if I was going to give it 100, a score out of 100, it's 100, right? Like there's no problems. And I do a lot of exercise and I feel like pushing yourself, doing physical exercise actually helps. Even though it fucking seems depressing and hard, particularly if you haven't gone into the routine. And I think you two probably had a bit of that when you did football, right? Because it's fun. So you're getting all that. You're being around your friend, but also you're getting...
people.
Right. Anyway, guys, I got to go because Lottie needs some medicine and she's having a tough time. It's been a pleasure, guys. Have a good evening. Love you both.
Real.
Speak to you both soon. All right.
Nice one.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Represent. Do 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 do.